It's been a month and 2 days since Aaron Alexis gunned down a dozen colleagues at the Washington Navy Yard. Now the Navy has appointed a task force to oversee the recovery, both of its operations and its employees. Navy Secretary Ray Mabus has directed the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy Installations and Environment, Dennis McGinn, to lead the task force. And Secretary McGinn joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Emily.
So tell us what's on your agenda.
Well, first of all, I want to start by telling everyone that our Navy team is really, really resilient. We've got a wonderful group of people, and this tragedy, as sad as it was, day by day we're seeing a recovery to back to the mission, focus on healing, taking care of our Navy family. And I want to really thank the first responders, from law enforcement, fire personnel, medical folks. They did an absolutely superb job, and the mission continues in that regard. We have tremendous support from our emotional health and physical health folks, helping families and those affected by this tragedy that are ongoing. So this is really, really a team effort. Our Navy team, certainly, and all of the wonderful people in the National Capital Region that have helped us in the wake of this tragedy.
So tell us, you know, the news cycle has been completely eclipsed, you know, overwhelmed by the shutdown news. What has happened over the last couple of weeks at the Navy Yard?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, those commands that were affected by this shooting have been relocated to offices. They are continuing to do their mission, coming up to full speed again. The care of our folks who are most affected physically and emotionally by this tragedy continues, and we slowly but surely continue to heal and get stronger and get back to our mission, and as best we can, life is becoming a little bit more normal. It's going to be a long road, a long journey, but we are getting there, and we're assisted by such a wonderful team.
And what are some of the first things that the task force has already done or is going to do in the coming days?
The task force is comprised of a special small team of experts in a whole range of fields to assist with recovery effort, every aspect. I've got legal, medical, facilities, communications, administrative, and planning experts from commands across the National Capital Region who, importantly, volunteer to assist in this effort. We have behind us the entire Department of Navy team, and we are able to call on whatever expertise that we need to make this recovery sure and rapid.
So are you responding to requests, or do you actually have an agenda of things that the task force will initiate?
We have both. We are positioned to respond very rapidly to a whole variety of requests, and we are doing that. But we also have an agenda, and that agenda is to make sure that relocated personnel have everything they need to do their job, to make sure that families and those affected by this tragedy are getting the kind of medical and emotional health care that they need. And we are making sure that if there are any financial difficulties or any legal aspects that need to be tended to, that is ongoing as well. We've already started a process of looking at the site of the tragedy, Building 197. We have studies underway to determine what the best redesign of that building would be, and things are going well across the board.
What have been the requests coming into the task force so far?
I would say mostly for information, you know, where we can get support resources. There's a whole variety of organizations that have become very well organized. And at the task force, we consider ourselves a clearinghouse for any request for assistance, whether it's financial, medical, emotional, no matter what it is. And in fact, in terms of mission, if there are requests from any of the displaced personnel or commands, we're able to help address those and make sure that office spaces are available, that information technology systems are there, and that we're back up to speed on mission.
How many people would you say are in makeshift or offices and work environments that, you know, and have been displaced from the scene of the shooting?
Actually, I would say it would be around 3,000 or so, but I want to make sure that we don't create an impression that they are in makeshift offices. We have really, really found locations for them to be well connected to each other and to the mission needs, and just about everybody has been repositioned, and it's amazing how quickly we're recovering to full mission capability.
And what about the Navy Yard as a whole? I know you were referring to places where employees and family members can get help, but in terms of the spirit of the organization, are there things going on at the Navy Yard to help people come together and to talk and do things in a more formal group setting?
Yes. We have a regular battle rhythm on that, in that regard. We have teams that are available that are scheduled to assist people and individually and in groups. We also are able to respond to any needs. We have assets available via phone, over the net, in person, and the full spectrum of mental and emotional health care providers are available on request.
We're speaking with Secretary Dennis McGinn, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy Installations and Environment, also head of the new Washington Navy Yard Recovery Task Force. At the risk of sounding insensitive, I do want to know about sort of productivity among the units like NAVC. Were any sort of deadlines, did they have to be extended or production production standards lowered a bit during the past month?
No, not at all, Emily. In fact, there's been a far greater effect on the Navy mission by the shutdown than by this tragedy. The NAVC team is strong and resilient. They're very, very talented. And in terms of the overall mood in NAVC, for example, and other commands affected, in fact, all personnel, I just am uplifted when I come to the Navy Yard and I see people that are at work, that are doing their jobs. You can just see it when people come to work or are leaving work at various times during the day, that the level of activity is back to normal and that people are getting the job done. We're very, very resilient, but at the same time, we continue to heal.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about the infrastructure that was affected itself, especially Building 197. Now, the Navy, I know, has awarded a contract to clean up and restore the building. Can you tell us a little bit about the work and how the task force is participating in that effort?
Sure. Well, the FBI and our Navy Criminal Investigative Service released the building to the Navy in early October. Since then, we've been retrieving personal effects and professional documents to continue the mission. On the 30th of September, as you pointed out, we competitively awarded a contract for damage assessment and also to develop a long range of design concepts for the restoral of the building to full mission capability.
And can you tell me a little bit about the company that got the contract and whether they've had to do this type of thing before?
Yes, we chose a very, very competent company, CH2M Hill, who have a tremendous amount of expertise in this area, from building immediate restoral to operations, as well as to conduct long-term design studies.
You know, we've seen, you name it, whether it's the attack on the World Trade Centers or the question now up in Connecticut about what to do with the elementary school there that was the scene of the shooting. There's always sort of a tension between wanting to pay respects to the victims of the shooting and also just wanting to get on with life. So what are your initial expectations for how these buildings are going to be in the future and whether there's going to be anything at all to remember the shootings by?
There absolutely will be. And we will have an appropriate memorial to make sure that those who made the ultimate sacrifice, giving their lives while doing their jobs in support of our national security and our Navy, are suitably recognized. That will be a permanent memorial. It's much too early to determine exactly what the design would be, but it will be very, very appropriate, and we'll be consulting with a variety of experts and with those most deeply affected by this tragedy to make sure it is appropriate. As far as the overall functionality of the building, we are a very, very resilient force, a resilient team, and we're going to recover from this. There are folks that were in Building 197 that are ready to come back to work in 197. I'll use the example of the Pentagon after 9/11. We rebuilt. We put the fires out. We cleaned it up, and we rebuilt. And it is stronger. It is higher quality of life. It is more safe and secure than ever. And that's the same type of vision that we have for the entire Navy Yard and for Building 197.
And finally, are there any deadlines or even a time frame for the task force to complete this work and also for the contractor and the building to complete the work?
No, we're going to be very, very deliberate. We're going to be event-driven. We're not trying to hold ourselves to a strict timeline. We will do it as deliberately and as surely going forward as we possibly can. But I would say that we won't be measuring our task in years, but probably rather in months.
Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy, Installations, and Environment, Dennis McGinn, is now heading up the Washington Navy Yard Recovery Task Force. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Emily.